Welcome to We Have That Podcast at Home. I'm on-brand Rachel, and this is my off-brand podcast, the only podcast to have interdimensional portals fueled by dark energy. Gamage is unfortunately out this week. He is undergoing a very important cosmetic butthole surgery. He got tired of being treated like he had a pink asshole, so we have just decided to drop the pretense, and he is getting his butthole dyed hot pink. I have heard that the recovery for this type of surgery is, like, it borderline perilous. So, hopefully we'll have him back next week, but if not, we will not be doing whatever we spin the wheel for, and I'll just be hosting a memorial, and I'll be reading the eulogy I have ready for if this goes south. Each week, we spin a wheel and play Russian roulette with our success, and you know, find out the genre of the next week's podcast. This week is fiction, and actually, conveniently enough, this week, in Gamage's absence, we are joined by a guest host who is an interdimensional traveler, which is, you know, like, really exceptional timing for our fictional topic of the week. So why don't you introduce yourself?
I am the renowned bard Pepperjack. My full name is Arturo Pierpajeg. I've had many companions over the years find my name excessively exotic and collectively cracked the silly moniker until it stuck.
That is an exceptional name, sir.
I don't even understand it myself. A Pepper Jack? Ridiculous.
Do you guys not have... you know what? We'll get to that question. We'll ask that later. What I would... yeah, so... What I would like to do before we get into the questions would just be to kind of, like, describe your visage to people.
What's wrong with my visage?
It's just different than really anything that we've seen here on our planet. So I just think it would be, like, important to note some of your features.
Ah, you mean my skin color. Yes, it's not the normal Gith skin color.
A little bit more than that.
The Gith are normally... how so?
Well, okay, so just to catch everybody up. So you appear to be, Gith Yonki.
Ah, no! Incorrect. I'm a Gith Zerai. Gith Yonki are lunatic space elves, while we are... cultured philosophers and scholars.
Okay.
I will agree with your observation that we do look alike, but we are very different.
Gotcha. Okay, so for the listeners, a Gith Zerai, am I saying that right?
Yes.
Gith Zerai and Gith Yonki are kind of similar looking in the lacking of a nose and sort of elf-like features with the high cheekbones and the kind of cat-like eyes and the pointy ears. I think the biggest thing that's different is the no nose thing is quite different than what we're used to here.
I do have a nose.
It's just a real small nose.
It's a nose.
It's like
I'm not gonna comment on your nose
with the tip cut off.
No, there is no tip cut off. It is just my nose.
I apologize. So I'll just continue describing you, and then we'll get into some clarifying questions. So you're quite purple. You don't seem to have that sort of traditionally pallid, snot-colored skin. And you'll have to correct me, because I've only really ever known about Gith Yonkis. But I do gotta be honest, the more that I look at you, you're really giving me... kind of like a small-nosed Shakespeare vibe. Do you guys get Shakespeare in your...
Shakespeare?
...universe?
I don't know what this Shakespeare is, but I'm pretty drug-free in my time.
He's not... I mean, I think he took a lot of drugs and alcohol when he was making his works. He's a playwright. Like, he writes...
a man of the theater!
Plays. Yeah, he is a theater man. He's a very famous theater
man. I, too, am
a
man of the theater.
Well, you guys look very, very similar. And your outfit is rather splendid. It's sort of like a tunic with leafy designs.
Ah, thank you. I picked it off of a spider corpse.
Oh, did you really?
Yes.
Did it fit the spider, or...?
No, it was loot. You just loot. You do not like loot spiders when you kill them?
No, usually the spiders that we kill are too small. So I don't think they can carry much loot, if any. The only loot that I've really ever...
Do they drop tiny clothing?
Unfortunately, no. The only loot that I've ever really seen a spider drop when I kill it is if you kill a spider while it's carrying its egg sack full of its babies. Usually the babies just kind of shoot out in every direction and start running.
A multi-kill!
Kind of. More like... You kill it, and then the babies surround you, and then you have to go out of your way to kill all the tiny babies. So there's that.
Well, it does sound like a sticky situation.
Indeed, it is not. It's not great. It's not ideal. So, I guess let's start with the whole purple skin thing. So you're a Gith Zerai.
Yes.
How's that different than a Gith Yonki?
Well, we have different cultures, but we are more cultured. There's a lot more of the minds gathering where we're from, whereas the Gith Yonki are crazy warriors that vow to protect space. You're right in that my purple hue is abnormal. It is not supposed to be like this. We actually do share the same colored skin, the yellowish, or snot, as you referred to it. But this purple hue is actually a sick joke of a curse, mocking the history of the Mind Flayer's subjugation of my people.
I have a lot of questions about that. I'm gonna start with... Could you just explain a little bit about the Mind Flayer subjugation of your people? I think I quoted that correctly.
Yes, yes. Thousands of years ago, the Mind Flayers subjugated my people. That's it.
Can you define subjugated?
Enslaved?
Ah, thank you. Sorry, I didn't have my dictionary in front of me.
One day we broke free, and then our two clans basically split off, and one became the Gith Yonki, and the smarter, more pristine, higher breeding caliber of Gith went the other way as the Gith Zerai.
Would you say higher breeding means, like, the breeding of higher minds, or you guys try to make babies more?
Well, I think there's too many Gith Yonki anyway, so I can't even say more breeding. They breed a lot. They breed a lot.
Would you say that the Gith Zerai look at the Gith Yonki as kind of barbaric?
Savages!
All right.
No, I do have many barbarian friends, so I don't want to say barbaric. That's too much.
I see.
But
so
savages, yes.
Gotcha. I understand the distinction now. And so you're purple from a curse relating to this, like, Mind Flayer enslavement?
The curse, yes. The curse was placed on me by a xenophobic mermaid king as punishment for conducting scientific inquiry with his daughter.
What would you describe as scientific inquiry? Because that sounds like there's some certain connotations to what you're saying here, bud.
Well, fortification, my dear.
Did you say fortification?
Fornification. Do they not fortificate in your world?
Are you saying fornicate?
Yes, fornicate. Do they not have fornicating on your world?
No, we have lots of that. So you are scientifically fornicating with a mermaid king's daughter?
Well, yes.
And he turned you purple.
He was quite upset by the ordeal.
Was he upset about this because your people are seen as lesser post-enslavement? Or was he just mad that you were fucking his daughter?
I don't think he took kindly to accidentally witnessing the plowing of his daughter's turd cutter.
That is
an image that will sit in his mind for millennia.
I have a letter that we won't read it now, but I think you'll love it. It's from the Victorian era of our time. And I think you'll really
Ah, yes, you'll have to forward that through an email, I've learned.
Oh, do you get email where you're from?
I do get email now, yes. I'm actually living in this plane. I've met a wonderful human named Bradley who's been taking me around and allowing me to stay in his apartment.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
So
We've recently taken an outing to a movie theater, which is this fascinating pocket dimension of an epic memory.
And how did you feel about those, since it's not live theater?
It was boring.
Oh, you didn't like it?
The story was too long.
What did you go and see?
Casablanca? Some warlock spell of a name.
Casablanca?
Is that what it is?
I believe so.
What does that mean in your tongue?
I believe that's a different language, but it is the name for a place. Not really going to make any sense to you, but it's a city in a place called Morocco.
It surely does not.
That's okay.
But yes, I was cursed. It's an unfortunate curse. The Mermaid King was way too racist and harsh on me, honestly.
So does being purple come with a lot of, like, weird interactions for you, or are people mostly cool with it?
I will be honest with you. Given my bloodline, I was already seen in a negative light, and now it is honestly a little better. I'm just seen as a dark elf who has lost his nose.
Oh, I see. So are the Gith Yonki and Gith Zerai, like, not generally socially accepted by other people?
A lot of us aren't. A lot of just species in general. Dark elves are seen as in negative as well, but less so than our people.
I see. So, where exactly are you from?
My place of birth was the Gith Zerai Kresh on Limbo, but I was brought to the material plane at a far young age, so I grew up in a place called Junon.
You said a lot of words just now. It sounds like there's an implication that you grew up in one sort of universe plane of existence and then moved to a more material universe plane of existence, a more physical world.
Have you ever seen somebody born somewhere and then grew up somewhere else?
Yes, it's more of the inter-
It's a lot like that.
Universe travel that I'm intrigued about. Because I do know that you said you got here through interdimensional portals, but I really gotta tell you, I don't know much about interdimensional portals.
Well, from what I've seen, that makes a lot of sense.
You know, like, how did you get here? Because we don't really know a whole lot about interdimensional travel.
I just sailed across the astral sea. Do you not have an astral sea?
Well, we must have one since you got here on it, but I don't think we understand how to get
fascinating.
How to sail on it. So when you say sail, are you on a familiar
yes.
with a spaceship?
It's
sort of like a tubular.
Do not all ships take space?
Yes. Okay. So, do you know what a boat is?
Well, yes. I came here on one. A spelljammer is what they're called. It's essentially a ship used to travel across water, but it is magically enchanted to sail across the astral sea.
I see. So that kind of answers my question. So you're using kind of like a big boat. Are the sails the same? Do they look the same, or are they different kind of sails to catch the astral wind?
Some have sails, but they are not completely necessary, no.
How do you propel yourself through the astral sea?
Well, I use what is known as a spell jamming helm. It's essentially just an artifact used to control the ship. It's a chair. I picked a wooden chair. It's simple. I don't like complicated. It's a chair.
How do you use the chair to propel the boat?
Oh my goodness! Are you gonna ask me how to wipe too? You sit in the chair and it goes.
Yeah, but like, is it reading your thoughts?
What is your
like,
physiology?
Whoever...
Of course it does.
Well, I'm sorry. You're talking about something that we have no concept of here. I have questions. All right, so you sit in this chair and essentially you drive the boat with your mind.
Yes.
That's crazy. That's wild. Is that like a common mode of transportation for what?
If you're going to travel the astral sea, yes.
Well, no, I more of mean, so you said you grew up in the material plane, is that correct?
Correct.
And what was the name of your town or village or city?
Junan.
Junan? So is that a common form of transportation for people from Junan?
Not quite. Usually to travel to other planes, people use portals, dimensional doors, that sort of thing, but spelljammers aren't exactly common around the material plane. There's no point in using it there, you know?
I suppose that makes sense. So is the astral sea like a different plane, or is that how you travel between planes, so it's like fills in the empty space between them?
Yes, you got it. That is absolutely correct.
Very
interesting.
It is
the space between space.
I see. So most people don't travel through this sea. They just take a portal like directly somewhere else. So is interdimensional travel super common for you guys?
It's not uncommon, but it's not. You can't find somebody on every corner of the streets being able to do this. No.
I see. Okay. Could you kind of describe the town or village where you're from, Junan? Like, what's that like? What kind of people live there?
Well, the original town, Junan, very grimy, very dirty. Blacksmiths, paper smiths, wool smiths, all kinds of just crafty people who don't shower.
Are all of them called smiths?
Well, if you smith, then yes, you're a smith.
Like, what kind of people live there? Because obviously you're a Githzerai, so are there Githyankis? And then you mentioned something about dark elves. Like, what sort of races?
I wouldn't live near Githyankis, no. Mostly just humans. It's a human city.
I see. So there's no elves or dark elves or other Githzerai around?
Elves don't exactly come down to this kind of social environment with humans, no. They find themselves too high and mighty, even though we are higher and mightier. And the Githyanki, they're too busy eating mud.
Do they actually eat mud, or is that sort of a derogatory sentence?
It's not derogatory if it's true, but it is not true, no.
So it is a derogatory sentence?
I don't like how you're referring to me like that.
Well, I didn't refer to you in a derogatory fashion. I merely pointed out that you were being derogatory.
It's fine, because the Githyanki are rubbish. They are trash. It is commonly known
that they're trash people?
Yes, everybody on the coast also refers to them as trash.
I see. So, you live in Junan. What's the name of the, I guess, like the government or country that you live within?
The country? Yes, the kingdom.
There you go.
I'm getting there. It's the kingdom of Farunal.
Farunal. Are there a lot of kingdoms where you're from? Like, is Farunal pretty big?
There's just too many. Just way too many kingdoms.
So are they pretty small?
No, they're far larger.
So it sounds sort of like your, how many people live in a kingdom before I make this comparison?
I mean, thousands. I have no way of measuring that.
You guys don't have a census where you count how many people live somewhere?
A census?
Yeah, we have people once a year go around to people's doors and they ask how many people live in there. And then they collect all those numbers and add them up.
That does seem like an invasion of privacy, you know that.
I didn't say it wasn't weird, but it is something that we do. So I take it you guys don't do that based off of
your
response.
No, we do not. That is strange behavior. I would definitely speak to your king about that. That's not okay. Why does your king need to know how many people there are?
So we don't have a kingdom. We have a it's called a country. It is kind of like a kingdom where there are boundaries that are shared with other kingdom-like countries. And then ours, the one that I live in particular, has a bunch of states, which are like sections of the kingdom.
States.
Yeah. But there's like
liquid and gas?
No, they're more of like, imagine mini kingdoms within a kingdom.
Like a city. It's just a city.
No, so
your
there's...
Your kingdom has cities?
No, so there's like a hierarchy. So let me go through it with you. There's...
Goodness.
You know, there's like farms and villages. And then there's towns where there's like a little bit more going on.
They're and the then, same thing.
Next up would be cities. And so these cities, farms, towns, villages are all... There's a bunch of them within a state. Like a mini kingdom. And then there is a bigger kingdom that is in charge of all of these mini kingdoms.
Your existence is complex.
It is indeed complex and generally confusing. Where you're from, is there like a lot of nature and trees and stuff?
No, not really. I don't really see a lot of nature. It's full of people. There's bakeries baking bread in the morning. This smell of iron, ash, and bread just wakes you up every morning.
That sounds like a one-third delicious, at least.
Well, one-third of the thing I said being delicious does check out, yes.
I guess a good question. What is your favorite food from your land?
Custard pies.
Custard pies. We have those here. So that's pretty cool.
Like, what kind of custard are we talking about?
I mean, what do you mean, what kind of custard?
Well, I don't know. Like,
I don't really know.
Blackberry custard, boysenberry custard.
All of them? Those are all words that I know, so I think we have all of these things.
I'm no baker, so I don't know how to make a custard.
Neither do I, but I can buy one. So what do you do for, I guess, like a living? Like, what do you do for a job?
As stated before, I am a bard. I go on adventures with companions. It varies and changes out a lot, but we do adventures. And I, of course, am the performer of the group.
I see. So what do you use to perform? Because bards traditionally have an instrument, right?
That is correct, yes. No, I am a bard of the theater instead. I act out. I use my words instead.
Oh, I see. Is that because the Gith Zerai, it sounds like you guys are like really into like theater and all that sort of
I want to say that I am my own person who came to this conclusion myself that I wanted to pursue theater. But yes, there probably is some connection between being a Gith Zerai and being a bard of the theater.
Very cool, very cool. So I gotta be honest, I have kind of an invasive question for you that might be bordering on slightly inappropriate.
I'm prepared.
So there's a stereotype in my land that bards are particularly inclined towards sexual deviancy.
Ah, promiscuity, and, yes.
Yes, and based off your mermaid story earlier, it kind of seems like it adds up, but I don't know if that was like a one and done or if that's a regular event for you.
Well, that was Petunia. She and I were in love, but I get around, but I wouldn't label myself as a sexual deviant. No, far more bards are far worse than I am. Honestly, I think the bard colleges are to blame for that kind of behavior.
What do the bard colleges do that creates that?
Bard colleges, it's schooling. I don't know if they have school where you're from.
We have schools and colleges. I'm just more intrigued about how they promote sexual promiscuity.
It's just the environment in general. The one I went to was very different. But most Bard colleges are very lax. There's a lot of drug paraphernalia being passed around. Again, a lot of promiscuity.
That sounds honestly pretty similar to our colleges that we have here.
Unfortunate, I apologize.
So can I ask you a further invasive question on this same topic?
Sure.
So I have a definition of like what getting around would imply in our land. What is that for you? Like what's your body count?
My body count's like how many people I've slain or
You know what? We'll get there. I was looking for how many people you've bedded in the biblical sense.
I see. Well, that again, my number is quite low as far as bards go, because I definitely, again, am a man of the theater. Therefore, I'm a romantic by heart, so I can't fornicate with somebody that I don't feel closely romantically attracted to. But my number, I would say 113.
113, as in 113?
That is correct, yes. Again, it is pretty low, I know.
So what would be like what would you say the average number is for a bard that isn't of your sort of romantic inclination?
Many of the other bards I've met are in the 700s.
That is quite a few.
It's an epidemic, I'm telling you.
Yeah, 113 is also quite high.
It's the Bard colleges, I told you. It's their upbringing. They're not as strict as my school was. I have a degree from Goulyard.
From Goulyard?
Goulyard, yes. I know, a theater school ran by necromancers and liches leaves a strange taste in your mouth at first, but it's really quite an enriching curriculum.
I'm sorry, I'm speechless over the name Goulyard. That's quite a pun if it is run by necromancers and literal ghouls. But I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I don't know why I'm questioning it. So you said you go on quests with a group or a groupings of other people. You know, like what
that is correct. Yes.
What inspired you to do that? Like what inspired you to go on adventure?
It's either this or lead a boring life as a smith and die young.
What kind of smith would you be if you weren't an adventurer?
I'm a wordsmith, obviously.
Would you still be a bard if you didn't adventure and just be a little bit more homebody, I guess? Like work in a local tavern?
Well, with my education, yes. My degree would have landed me performing in some sort of clubs or maybe an acting troupe, but those, I feel, are just not as adventurous for me. I do crave the adrenaline rush you get.
Speaking of which, we gotta go back to, you said, when I said body count, you said how many people you've slain. What is that body count for how many people you've slain?
That is quite low. I'd say I haven't reached triple digits. I'm maybe in the 70s. It's not a lot.
And how do you feel about that?
I feel like it's a pretty low number. I could be doing better, of course, but I usually don't jump into the fray in fights. I leave that to my compatriots, and it is me who's regaling them with strong words to embolden them for the fight.
So, are you familiar with the term cheerleader?
I'm not familiar with this, no.
So, in my land, a cheerleader is, I mean, kind of the same thing, you know? Like, they embolden and, what's the word that I'm looking for? And kind of, like, promote and hype up their companions to do, while they're trying to do great feats of, like, physical effort and things.
Do they also murder people with their words?
Less so. Less so with that. Sometimes, yes, but we call that bullying that's gone really far. It's not as common.
Well, one of the many skills under the bard's repertoire is what's known as vicious mockery. What we are able to do is transcribe our magic and thoughts into words, essentially mocking the enemy, and it does hurt them and can sometimes kill them.
And that's just like if you spit out good enough combinations of words, someone
bars,
will just keel
yes.
over and die?
Correct.
So if you spit, do you usually do, you're a man of the theater, do you usually do like a poetry style? Is there a, like, do you it, like to rhyme? Is it more like a haiku where it's like certain syllables?
I usually stick to their appearances, their smells, their mothers, and how fornicating them would devastate their fragile minds.
Okay, so you just straight insult them.
Vicious mockery is indeed, yes.
Yeah, I would say we have people that do that here as well. Doesn't always result in death, but it doesn't not do it. So what kind of quests have you been on where you've brutally murdered people with your fantastic use of language?
Oh, that is quite a question. It's like asking someone how they spent their last decade. I've definitely gone and overthrown kingdoms. I've delved deep into the underground and fought many drow, and I've cascaded castles and delved into dragon's dens. That's really an open-ended question.
Okay, well, it may be an easier question. What is your favorite quest that you've been on?
My favorite quest, I think, has just been a very simple one. It's one of my first. It was just me, no other adventurers, and it was just delivering a grandmother's cookies to her granddaughter. That was a very simple one, and it really, really gave me an enriching sort of feeling for the people.
I see. So you just sort of like had a local task to do, and it was...
Yes.
Nice.
Simple. Nobody needed to die. I did fornicate with the grandmother, yes.
Oh, good. That was my next question, is whether you fornicated with the grandmother. What about her did you love, since you said that you're romantic? I'm curious what inspired that thing between you guys.
I don't understand, like, what part of her physiology aroused me? Is that what this question is leading towards?
No, I mean, you said you were kind of a romantic, so I was curious what part of her you kind of started to love that led to your intimate interaction.
Well, I do have a fondness for creatures that like to bake.
Ah, so it was the baked goods that got you.
Yes.
I see. So, you know, did fornicating with the grandma have anything to do with this being your favorite quest?
Not quite. I've had other milestones that are far greater to me, but that is neither here nor there. No, it was really just the first one I did on my own, as my own person, that I really had a connection with.
I see.
Nobody
I
had
see.
To die. It was just, I left feeling good that day.
Gotcha. What would you say your least favorite quest is that you've ever been on?
I think my least favorite was I had to convince a centaur clan to move out of their forest. And
why?
Because I was sort of falsely betrothed to their princess. And
that meant they needed to move?
Well, no, it was a long tale, but essentially I had to marry the princess of the Centaur clan in order to relocate them. Because
so,
only the king of the Centaurs is able to make the decisions for the clan.
So, was the quest that you needed to move the centaurs, so then you got into a false relationship with the centaur princess or queen?
That is essentially it, yes, but...
How long were you in this fake relationship?
2 hours. I found it impossible to perform.
I have a lot of questions. I need you to clarify.
I'd like no questions on this matter.
So you were only in a relationship with her for 2 hours, but you managed to move the clan in that time?
We were unable to consummate the marriage, and we were unable to get the Centaur clan to move.
I see, so you were unsuccessful.
That is why it is not a fond adventure.
So, do you mean that you guys were only married for 2 hours before you couldn't get it up?
Now, first of all, Pepperjack is always able to arise to the occasion, but that is also a horse. It is. There's a horse vagina right there, and I do have standards.
And that standard is above horse vaginas?
I mean, I'm below a horse vagina, but yes.
Like, physically or staturely?
Are horses really small in your land, or how do horses work?
I guess to me, a horse vagina would probably be above my waistline by a
correct.
Fair amount.
There you go.
So is that what you meant, or did you mean that horses have a higher standing than a githzerai?
Well, I was making a joke based on the height of the horse, but no,
it is a horse,
and I do not wish to fornicate with a horse.
I see. I understand.
You really enjoy delving into my promiscuity.
Well, you know, I gotta tell you, 113 is quite high.
It's low. I've already told you that it is a very low number.
Okay, I apologize. You're right. 113 is a very low number. It's just, you know, quite high for being a very low number.
Oh, well, okay then. What is the average sexual body count for you people, you humans?
That's a great question that I do not have the answer to. Have you heard of Google while you've been here?
Google,
yeah. It's like a machine that you can ask kind of any question you want, and usually you'll get some sort of, I don't know, like well put together answer, I guess. Informative. Sometimes not at all, but it gives you a pretty solid answer.
An automaton with a library knowledge.
Yeah, pretty much, basically.
Wow, it took you a long time to find those words.
It did. It did indeed. So, moving on from your sexually promiscuous centaur fornication.
Yes.
And grandma fornicating.
Right.
Have you ever gone on a quest about your purple curse?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, you said you were cursed with this, like, purple skin. Have you ever tried going on a quest to lift that curse?
Unfortunately, it can't be undone. The curse is too strong for treatment short of divine intervention. The Mermaid King is there way too powerful. The Mermaid King is akin to a god.
So, like, you've never tried?
I mean, I've tried, but there's no kind of magic that can stop it. I've seen many people about this, but as I said, Mermaid Kings are basically gods.
I see.
It could have been worse. I got off a little bit light, in my opinion. He originally wanted me to have tentacles for the face as well, but I did have a really good lawyer.
Oh, so this was like a whole court case thing.
Ah, yes, it was.
And this is what a judge decided, was that you are purple but with no tentacles?
The judge was the king, so I definitely needed to bring my A-game to this trial.
Is that the name of your lawyer, A-game?
No, my lawyer was actually a bugbear named Morgan and Morgan.
Morgan and Morgan. And what is a... What exactly is a bugbear? Is it like a really large bug the size of a bear? Or,
You don't have
really
bugbears either.
Small bear the size
of
a bug.
What an exhausting world. No, bugbears, I don't know where their name comes from, actually, but they are large, hairy, beast-like humanoids.
Interesting. How big is large?
7 foot?
Oh, so, yeah, large. Gotcha.
I'd say more than that. Like, my lawyer was definitely around 7 feet, but I think they could go even bigger.
That is, what's, like, the biggest creature in your world? Like, if you had to take a guess for the largest one.
There's creatures unfathomable, but I think the largest I've ever seen is a dragon. And he was sleeping, so I didn't really get a full scope of his physical capabilities.
Oh, so you guys have dragons over there.
Well, of course.
That's wild. Yeah, we got none of those here. We have, like, we got lizards. That's about it.
We have lizards, too. That's not impressive.
They're quite small. I didn't say it was. I was just letting you know that we got lizards.
We have lizard men. They're men who are lizards.
Yeah, we don't. I don't think we have any of those. We used to have very big lizard-like creatures. We call them dinosaurs, but they died off like thousands and thousands of years ago.
Is a giant lizard not just a dragon?
Well, they didn't have... Well, some of them had wings, but they were more like birds, I guess, than dragons.
A dragon is not a bird. I don't know.
I know, that's why...
I don't know where that comparison is coming from.
Well, I was staying because some of them had wings, because I was going to say they didn't have wings, but, you know,
so
I said they're generally speaking more like a bird than a dragon, so they're a little different.
I would ask you what the difference is then.
Between a bird and a dragon, or a dinosaur and a dragon?
Yes, the second one, because a bird is definitely not a dragon, but these dinosaurs, which were lizards with wings, were birds, not dragons. That defies all logic. I don't understand
how you
get from,
like,
point A to point B.
I meant, look, lots of the dinosaurs did not have wings, so I feel like, therefore, not very similar to dragons, other than being large beasts. But there were dinosaurs that had wings, but they operated more as a bird would than a dragon would. Like, they didn't have... Do dragons have legs? Or just back legs? Like, do they have four legs or two legs?
It depends on the dragon. There are wyverns, which are two-legged dragons, so there are different types of dragons.
I see. Well, anyway, yeah, dinosaurs not like dragons.
I don't understand how, but it is your world. It is a weird world, but
look,
it is yours.
We'll look it up on the Google machine later, and I'll show you some pictures of what a dragon traditionally looks like for us, and we can cross compare some notes.
What do you mean how a dragon tradition? So you have dragons?
We have the concept of dragons. We don't have
what the fuck is that?
Anymore.
You have the concept of a dragon.
Well, like,
I have the concept of time magic, but that doesn't mean I... What?
Like, dragons don't exist, so if at one point they did, they're extinct, but we don't really have any proof that they existed
once.
But
you have photos.
No, maybe, like, drawings would be a better way to describe it. We have drawings of dragons.
You have drawings of a concept of a thing that doesn't exist in your world.
Yeah, but I like maybe one of them flew in on the astral sea for a minute and then flew out, and that's how
you
we got them.
Are not playing with a full deck.
Are you saying I'm crazy?
I'm saying maybe this world of yours is crazy. You and your Casablanca and dragons that aren't dragons, but there are dragons, but those weren't dragons, they were birds. None of it makes sense.
Look, I didn't say it necessarily did, but your world is just as complicated and interesting as ours. I mean, you guys run around and pick up fucking quests from like a job posting board, and that's
We don't always run everywhere. Walking is just fine. It conserves the energy.
Okay, well, you walk around, pick jobs off job boards, go and maybe murder people, sometimes have sex with people, and then get paid at the end of the day.
And what you do is different?
Yeah, I like, I go to the same sort of job, kind of like a smithy every day. Go to the same sort of job for, you know, like 8 hours a day for 5 days out of the week, and then I have 2 days where I do whatever I want.
I mean, it doesn't seem that different to me, but potato, potato.
Yeah, you know. It's at the end of the day, we're both getting paid, right? Hopefully.
Correct. I am getting paid, yes. Sometimes in wishes, sometimes in acorns, sometimes in gold coins. Those are the good days.
I was going to say, so like, what's the best thing you've ever been paid for a quest that isn't gold coins? Because obviously gold coins, you can, you know, go and spend places.
I think the best gift I've ever been given was a phase spider egg.
And what exactly is that?
An egg? It is essentially a
phase spider.
A phase spider is a... like your spiders, but they're not the small spiders that don't drop anything. They are big spiders. And these spiders, they are able to jump through portals and through reality itself.
Do you ride them through the portals?
Oh, you cannot do that. They are far too mean for that. But you are able to harvest their silk.
So do you just, like, have a phase spider and harvest it for silk?
That is an excellent question. The answer is no.
What did you do with this egg then?
I sold it.
Oh, I see. So that was the like highest price item you've ever received, or what?
It was the highest price, yes. I sold it to a tiny cafe that was able to make a delicious omelet out of it.
Nice. Did you eat the omelet?
I did, yes. It was a big egg, so it made a lot of omelets. The only problem is I did feel hungry about 30 minutes later because the omelet phased out of my stomach.
Ha ha! It's a good joke. It's a good joke. Did the omelet interdimensionally teleport then?
I assume so.
That's actually really hilarious.
I don't know how. I would not be able to tell. I didn't throw it up.
Does the cafe get any, like, flack or negative reviews when their omelets phase out of people's bellies?
They serve more than just phase spider eggs, but for the phase spider eggs, it's definitely more of an experience. You do sign a waiver.
I see. So you do know what you're getting into when you eat the omelet, is that eventually it will vacate itself from your digestive system?
I cannot imagine that anybody... in my world would eat a phase spider egg and think something else would happen. It's kind of like common sense, you know? Like,
that's fair.
You don't crawl into a lake and breathe.
That's fair. Does it always phase like when it's in your stomach, or is it sometimes phasing when it's in your intestines? Does it sometimes phase after you've shit it out?
I do have a companion. His name is Trout. He's a Goliath with no tongue. But it did not phase for him until midway through pooping. It just disappeared.
That's got to make wiping really easy.
He has no tongue, so he was not able to reveal to me what had happened. But
is he also illiterate?
He has no tongue. He's
no. Can he read and write?
Yeah, he's a Goliath, so no, he cannot read or write.
So I guess what is a Goliath?
A giant. They are giant humanoids. They're very dumb, though.
Oh, I was gonna say, what makes them incapable of reading and writing? Like, is the text too small?
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Ah, so they're just dumb. What other companions do you have?
I've had many companions over the years. Trout is one I've definitely been around a good while. One of my other companions was a ranger named Sildra, very pompous elf type. Cannot stand those. Had a half-orc cleric a weird one that. Do you want me to just name them all off? Because I've got like 36 here.
Well, why don't you finish telling us about the half-orc cleric since you started?
I mean, he was an odd one. What else is there to say?
Well, I guess what made him odd?
Well, his name is Bono. It's a weird name to have.
Bono, the half-orc Bono. Cleric?
Bono.
Was that the only thing Bono? That was weird about him? Is that his name was Bono?
I mean, what else would be... Yes. I mean, he talked about church a lot, but that's what you get with a cleric.
Interesting. What religions do you guys have over there?
As many as there are gods.
I take it there's a lot of gods.
Of course there's a lot of gods. How many gods are on your world? Let's start with that.
A lot.
Yeah, see?
Do you
Will you
follow...
list them off for me?
I don't know all of them, I'm sorry. Do you follow any particular religion?
Me? No.
Is that like a Gith Zerai thing or a you thing?
It's just a me thing. I've seen many things to alter my faith. You know, there's sometimes on an adventure, you see crazy things. You'll see children burning. And after you burn them, it does stick with you.
Do you guys have therapy there? Because, like, from my understanding, people go around and kill each other a lot.
What sort of medicine is that?
Well, it's like a doctor that talks to you about your mind and your thoughts and how to generally cope with seeing horrible things like the children burning.
That is a useless profession. Do you pay these people?
Yeah, usually a lot of money.
You see a doctor, but the doctor does not do any of the doctor. He just talks, and that makes you feel good?
Yeah, it's like a talking doctor, and they make you feel better about the shitty things in your life, and kind of coach you through. They kind of coach you through it.
I have been to a doctor that made me feel good, but it is because he cured me of my superficial wounds.
Oh, you know what?
But that's not.
So you think a mind doctor is fucking stupid?
Well, it's not really a mind doctor, is it? Is it repairing your mind?
Kinda. I think while you're here, you should look into it. It might really, really evolve your life.
We'll see about that. I'm not sure if that's quite my forte.
I see. So I have a question for you. We've kind of talked about...
You've had several questions, yes.
Well, yeah, it's an interview. That's how that happens. You know, like, we kind of talked about what started you adventuring and some of the adventures that you've had. What brought you to this place in particular?
What brought me to your plane, this
yes.
Earth?
Yes, this Earth that we're on.
Well, I am chasing a chronomage down who has the ability to turn time back, and that is a very bad power to have. Naturally, you'd understand why. So I have been pursuing him for a long time, and he's found his way to Earth, and I've just been following the trail, and here I am.
You should talk to Cher.
Cher?
Yeah, she is also hunting down someone of similar powers.
Interesting.
Yeah, she wrote a whole song about it.
Another bard. Bard is looking for this chrono mage as well.
Yeah, she thinks that if she could turn back time, if she could find a way, then she could complete her heart quest.
Ah, so she's looking to use this mage's power, not stop him like I want to. So
yes,
she is an enemy.
Maybe, but she might, you know, she might have a lead for you to follow.
This Cher has made a rival this day.
I think you would like Cher, actually. I know you guys have kind of like opposite interests in your quest at the moment, but Cher is an exceptional bard. And she is fantastic in the theater.
I will have to investigate this Cher more.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. I think you guys would, I don't know if you'd get along, but I think you would like her.
Cher. What? Is that just her full name? Is it a nickname like Pepperjack?
It is a nickname like Pepperjack. She does have a full name, but Cher is kind of what she's known by.
Fascinating.
Are you aware that on our planet, your nickname is a cheese?
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know what that means where
you're
from. So
your cheese is called Pepperjack.
We have a cheese called Pepperjack. We have lots of cheeses. One of them is called Pepperjack.
I've never seen a Pepperjack cheese in my realm before, no.
Oh, you should try Pepperjack cheese while you're here. It's a white cheese with some peppers in it.
I look forward to this meal.
I think you'll have a good time. So you're chasing a chronomage. I guess, like, where are you at in that quest?
I've made it here. I don't know where in this world he is. His name is Gathro. He's an evil time mage, so I am pursuing him. If you see where this Gathro time mage is, please let my compatriot Bradley know. You can find him at Bradley's house, and he will get the message directly to me. Thank you. That is the sole reason I agreed to have this interview.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I actually forgot that was the reason that you agreed to do this. I guess while we're doing this kind of like PSA in the middle of our interview, can you describe the Chronomage so that if people see him, they know what they're looking at to inform you or inform Bradley?
Well, he is basically humanoid. He is just human. He does have short black hair that has like a swoof in front. It's weird. And he has the tiniest mustache just directly beneath his nostril.
Just like a little mustache. It's like
part of a mustache. It's, you know how a mustache, like my mustache, goes out. It's like,
yeah.
Shrink that down into just like a strip.
Okay, so just like a little strip mustache?
Correct.
Interesting. How do you go about hunting down this guy, especially when you're... Have you ever been to our plane before? Like, is this easy to navigate, or is this kind of your first time tracking someone through here?
This is definitely the first time I've been here, and it is quite an experience. I feel like a fish out of water, and normally I'm able to see where any kind of temporal matter exists, like afterbirth of his time magic, so to speak, but I've been able to find none of that so far.
Interesting. So you look for the afterbirth of magic?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
It is the droppings of when you birth magic. That's why it's called afterbirth, you see.
Is it commonly referred to as afterbirth, and is, like, doing a spell referred to as birthing magic? Is that, like, pretty normal vernacular?
I feel like that was pretty cut and dry.
Just seems odd.
What is odd about it?
Well, like, how are you producing the magic that we're going to equate it to birthing?
Is creation not birthing?
I suppose. But you can also create art. And
then
don't
you
know
are
if
birthing
I
art.
I suppose. You know what?
You birth art from your mind.
Fair enough. Birth a lot of art from your mind. Got it. So since this whole world's pretty foreign to you, as you've been exploring it, like, what's something like super weird that you've come across that maybe I can shed some light on for you?
I think theaters were the highlight, but there is one that I've been pondering for just nights now. I've had this Baba tea. What is this Baba tea?
So did you actually have it, or did you just see it on a sign?
I did, yes. It was creamy, milky, and had this, like, gelatinous, slimy, like, tiny spheres.
And you enjoyed it?
I did not, no.
Oh, so you did not like the boba tea?
It was like slurping a frog's eggs out of its own vagina. It is not pleasant. I don't know how, what you people pay for this.
Well, okay, it's technically it's pronounced boba tea, I think.
But it is
short for bubble tea because those little pods in it look like little bubbles.
Those are not bubbles. You are aware of this.
They're not bubbles. They're just a similar shape where they're just round. But it's essentially tea with milk and sugar, and then those little balls are like little tapioca balls.
Tapioca.
Yeah.
Interesting. We do have a tapioca plant where I'm from.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's made from that plant. Yeah, I think it's made from a tapioca plant, I would imagine, is why it's called a little tapioca pearl.
It is increasingly sounding like you don't actually know what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know how to make it exactly, so I wouldn't say that I know what I'm talking about, but...
Perhaps we should move on.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine by me. But yeah, it's tea, milk, sugar, tapioca balls. So since we're on the subject, is there anything, now that you've kind of seen our world, that you think we would find super mind-blowing?
In what manner?
I don't know, maybe like visually or like a day-to-day thing that you've... think we as the audience would find super interesting about your world?
I mean, magic is way more fluid in our world and not contained in like small devices like this world.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We just have like little magical boxes we stick in our pockets.
We are able to weave the forces of nature and do whatever we wish with them.
Yeah, we don't do that. We weave, like, baskets.
That is just strange.
Well, if anybody sees this chronomage...
Gathro?
Well, contact you. You said that you're getting into email.
Yes.
Do you have an email so that they can email you and, like, send you a drawing of him if they see him?
Yes, it is. It is Pepperjack.
Uh huh.
That's it.
That's the email. Just Pepperjack, not at anything.
It is at me.
I see. So that's kind of all the questions that I have for you.
Of course, I do have places to go, people to see, time mages to hunt.
Do you have any parting words for our listeners?
Yes. Cease this baba. You do not need this baba.
Boba.
Boba. You do not need boba. It is gross.
All right. You've heard it straight from the Gith Zerai's mouth.
You Cease do not want frogs to hatch in your intestines. That is just utterly disgusting. Maybe you do want frogs in your intestines. I don't know.
What if they were phase frogs? Would you eat the baba then?
Do you have phase frogs?
No, I'm saying what if we don't have phase frogs? I'm just presenting a hypothetical.
Well, then they would phase away. I don't understand the question.
But would you eat the baba?
What is the point of a what if question? That is not reality.
Yeah, it's called a hypothetical for a reason.
Well, then hypothetically, it potentially could teleport away.
I mean, would you still eat it? If it was a phase frog, would you eat it? Or is
frogs
it like
are
different?
Disgusting.
Okay, so it's just because it's frogs.
Do you eat frogs?
Some people do.
Gross. You people are disgusting.
Well.
Just sacks of wind just tumbling around. Well, okay, so we've discussed, we've come to agreements, we've come to disagreements. It has been educational, to say the least. I do have to be on my way, as you must as well. So you end your little... What is this?
Well, this is a podcast.
Right, that is what Bradley said, yes. All right, we will end this podcast.
Yes, so it's been very nice speaking to you. I really appreciated you answering all of my questions, including the very invasive ones about your fornication history. For the last part of our podcast, we do a welcome to We Have New Tunes at Home, which is where we suggest new music. Do you have any bard songs that you think the people
know about? Again, I'm not a very musical bard, but one music always comes to mind. It's the winds of Gajimir. It's always been pleasant on my ears.
What do you like about it? Like, is it like a high stakes song, gentle, slow? What kind of vibe?
Very gentle. Uses violins. Nice. I do enjoy the violin.
That sounds lovely. We'll have to look it up. Since Gamage is MIA, his song pick of the week is the newly released collaboration of Willie Nelson and Orville Peck covering Cowboys Are Frequently Secretly Fond of Each Other. It's a song that Willie Nelson previously covered, but was originally written and sang by Ned Sublette, unsure, in, like, I think 1981. It's a gay song about gay cowboys. Cow gays.
Cowboy.
Yeah, it's like,
Is this like an adolescent minotaur?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what that
so
is.
So you have minotaurs. Okay, good. There's some familiarity here.
Yeah, it's an adolescent minotaur, but it's a gay adolescent minotaur.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nope, nothing at all. Cow gays. And then my song pick for the week is Too Drunk to Drive by Hey Nothing. Sort of like an indie alt vibe, I guess. I think some of their songs are a little punky, but that one I don't think really is. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you, Pepper Jack, for being part of our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Anytime. If you liked what you heard or you just fucking hate us, please like and subscribe on whatever your most favorite is podcasting places. If you want us to talk about a thing, you want to learn more about the difference between a Githzerai or a Githyanki, you can Google that. Don't bother us with that. But either way, email us at whtpah@gmail.com. That's whtpah@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at We Have That Podcast at Home. Or WHTPAH would put on Blue Sky. And next week, pending Gamage's Mortal Doom, we shall be covering the beautiful and lovely topic of...
What is this enchantment? What are you casting? Witch!
You're dead now, bitch! No, I'm just kidding. I was making a sound.
It's time.
Sorry, it was a joke. Maybe poorly. Since you're from a land where people do murder each other at random.
No, it was quite a ruse, but I was just unstartled is all, unprepared.
That's fair.
I enjoy the jape.
Okay, I'm glad you enjoyed the jest. Next week we will be covering Wild Card. You go out into the woods, because that's where the wilderness is, and you have to find a card on the ground.
That seems easy enough.
This has been We Have That Podcast at Home. I have been off-brand Rachel. This has been Pepper Jack.
Farewell!
And like he said, farewell.